has brought us to worship him, and we confess that our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, and is in Christ Jesus an overflowing fountain of good. Amen. Beloved congregation, receive the greeting of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
The Lord our King has given us his rules for our life,
and they are recorded for us in his word. We'll read that word from Exodus 20, and the summary also of the law as Jesus repeated it in Mark chapter 12. As we listen to God's law, we cannot help but be humbled, at least we ought to be, for we come short of the glory of God. It is through the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for sinners such as us, that we are found acceptable to God, through Christ and then by his Spirit made to run in the way of God's commandments, the commandments of our Lord Jesus. We'll listen to this law and then sing as a response from Psalter number 140. 140 words of confession and confiding in Christ our Lord. Exodus 20, God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy manservant nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So far from Exodus 20, in Mark chapter 12, Jesus is asked, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus replies as follows, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Let us read further in God's word from the book of Psalms. The very last psalm, Psalm 150. Psalm 150. We'll read this psalm together, and these words also will be our text, the words of this psalm. Psalm 150, the word of God. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. So far, the word of God. Let us come before the Lord in prayer. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, what brought me to the text for this morning was an event that happened at the start of this month. In fact, I first preached this message on July 2, one day after the celebrations of Canada Day. Canada Day happens, as we know, every year on July 1, and this year was extra special because it was Canada 150. And I'm sure here, as was the case also where I and my family live in Niagara in Ontario, there was a lot of buzz to do with Canada 150. Even the stores in some of their flyers were advertising different products for that weekend for $1.50. And Tim Hortons was running a special edition of Roll Up the Rim in honor of 150 years as a nation of Canada, as a dominion. What a lot of excitement and what a lot of interest throughout the land, all leading up to July 1 and really all throughout this year, marking the 150th birthday. No doubt we have many reasons to celebrate and to be thankful. Still, even now, 1 month after the original day, July 1, we are a blessed people and we should not forget it compared to so many in this world. But let us not stop with the celebrations that our nation has put on and is remembering and enjoying. Let us not only reflect with the rest of Canada on 150 years, but let us push past all of that to take the opportunity to think about another 150, one that we may not regularly consider very often. Psalm 150. Psalm 150 is a psalm that in one sense we know well, and yet a psalm that in another sense we don't often think about, maybe as we could and should. Psalm 150, as the last psalm, is a psalm of praise. It is a great call to praise. For example, do you know how many times in this psalm we are called to praise the Lord? 13 times we are called, specifically called, to praise the living God, to praise Him. Yes, and every time it is the Lord, the triune God ultimately, Jehovah, our covenant God, He who has been revealed to us in Jesus Christ ultimately, and now known through the Holy Spirit, He is in view, and we are called to praise Him. Repeatedly and insistently, praise the Lord. What does it mean to praise the Lord? How would you answer that question? What does it mean to praise the Lord? Does it not mean to confess Him and to worship Him? Doesn't to praise the Lord mean to say great things concerning the Lord God? Doesn't to praise the Lord to mean to notice His glory and to adore His glory? Yes, and in all our praising to be vocal and obvious and eager and steadfast, to be all of that in exalting Him, Him. And if you think about that, can we not already pause here and observe that if only Canada, at its recent celebrations of Canada 150, if only Canada and all Canadians, all who live here, if only we as a people and as individuals would pay attention to this clarion call of Psalm 150. Isn't it so sad and even very dangerous that so many people are doing anything and everything but praising the Lord? Instead, they are ignoring him. They are denying him. They are defying him. They are blaspheming him. While they are taking his gifts and reveling in the bestowment of all his blessings, yes, while they enjoy his kindness, day after day and year after year, all the time they are busy, full out, offending him and grieving him and rejecting him and more. Truly, Psalm 150, like all the Word of God, is a serious and urgent word for our time and for our land and for our people. Just think, for example, of how in verse 6, how it ends there by saying, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." What a summons. What a summons to all people everywhere, including our whole land, from sea to sea, from north to south, east to west. What a summons to embrace our created purpose and to praise the Lord above all. But we cannot answer that summons, of course, for every Canadian. We can only answer it for ourselves. And so let's study it this morning. Our theme draws from the emphasis of the psalm on praising the Lord. And so it goes like this. Psalm 150's call to praise, praise, praise the Lord. And four things to highlight. First of all, what a fitting end to this, to the Psalter. Psalm 150's call to praise, praise, praise the Lord. What a fitting end to the whole Psalter. As you know, Psalm 150 brings to a close this wonderful Bible book of the Psalms. And simply to think of the Psalms as a whole, how they start out, for example, with Psalm 1, and the two ways that are set out to us in Psalm 1, the way of the godly and the way of the ungodly, the way of the wicked, and how the way of the godly will ultimately prosper and the way of the wicked will perish. Those two ways are set out in Psalm 1 very fundamentally. And then with Psalm 2, a great global picture is set before us. And we are seeing the King of Kings in his glory and Christ at the right hand. And the great call of the psalm at the end of that psalm is to kiss the Son, lest he be angry and we perish in the way. Blessed, that psalm finishes by saying, blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Psalms 1 and 2, as you no doubt know, are introductory psalms to the whole book of Psalms. And they set the stage for the rest of the psalms as they give to us, in the words of God, expression to all the highs and lows of the faith and of the life of the godly. We know this, of course, we know it by experience, how in the precious Psalms we find rich words for the valleys and in the times of darkness. Good words we find in the Psalms to help us wrestle through hard questions and great fears. Yes, perfect words even we find in the Psalms to guide us and to comfort us. What a collection of poems and prayers is bound up in this book of Psalms, all words from God, ultimately. Let's never forget that. The Psalms are prayers, but they are God-given prayers. They are words from God to help us, to lead us through the life of faith, words to give expression to the struggles of our hearts. But then at the end of the book of Psalms, at the end comes this psalm of all-out praise. In fact, the theme of praise begins already back in Psalm 145, which we sang together at the start of the service. And really, Psalms 145 and then 146 to 150, those psalms all start and finish with the words, "Praise ye the Lord." So there is this building in the book of Psalms to a climax, A climax of praise. And the culmination, the high point of that climax is here in Psalm 150, where it's all praise. And where our 13 calls to praise. And the point is, make sure, praise, praise, praise the Lord. And when you think that through, then we have to say, is that not so fitting? So fitting that this book of prayers, this book that helps to lead us through all of the complexities and questions and agonies and struggles of this life, as it comes to an end, its focus is worship, praise. In other words, is this not a picture of where the Christian life leads? On the one hand, it is what ought to mark and really what will mark every true Christian life. To have the life of God in your soul can't help but lead you to more and more see God in His glory and praise Him and exalt Him. But not only does it mark every Christian life, the idea is that it will more and more mark you. And the longer you live by faith, and the longer you have the Holy Spirit, and the more you look like the Lord Jesus Christ, and the closer you get to glory, your life is all about praising Him. You have nothing anymore to say about yourself. You have everything to say about the living God and to exalt His name. And all this, think of it as lead up to heaven, where it is only praise, where it is eternal praise, where all believers are gathered around the throne and are on their faces before the Lamb. And what are they doing? They are worshiping. They are praising the living God. And so the point is, the very placement of this psalm at the conclusion of the psalms, it's not simply a conclusion. It is that, but it is also a climax with its call to praise, all out praising, ever praising. And we are to realize, we are to learn from this. This is life. This is where it's headed. Nothing else, nothing less. We were made for this. We get saved for this. And someday we will know this and we will do this. And it is like one commentator has said, this psalm proclaims the certain end of the weary years. So what a fitting end to the Psalter. That first of all. In the second place, let's notice what helpful directions for us all. What helpful directions for us all. And here we pay attention especially to the outline of the psalm and to the different points that are made in this psalm. For instance, the whole psalm calls for praising the Lord. Verse 1, praise ye the Lord. Verse 6, praise ye the Lord. So the whole psalm is bracketed by this great call. But then in the body of the psalm, what we find are particular points or directions. So still in verse 1, for example, we learn where to praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary, it says. And then praise Him in the firmament of His power. So first of all, in His sanctuary. Where is that? Does the Lord mean here high up in heaven where He sits on His throne? Of course, that all who are there praise Him, and they do. But what about also when He comes near to His people, like He did in the Old Testament, in the worship, in the tabernacle, and later in the temple, and like He does now in the New Testament, when we gather in His name, and the Lord says He is there, He is present, He comes close to us. Or in a way even, He brings us close to Him. He is with us. Does that not make this place and this moment and this gathering and this service His sanctuary? When He is present by means of His word and spirit and according to His promise, the Lord is here. This is His sanctuary. And here, therefore, in the congregation, let us praise the Lord. But not simply in the sanctuary, also in the firmament of His power. or in his mighty firmament, or we could translate in the mighty heavens. And the point seems to be here, don't only praise him in public worship, but praise him at all times and in all places. Let his praise ring out through all the earth and heaven, throughout this whole creation that he has made. That's good to be reminded of, isn't it? That praise is not simply for Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon or Sunday evening, but praise is for Monday through Saturday as well. Praise is in our home, or is to be in our homes, and is to be through our work and in our school times, and even on our vacations, when we may behold the majesties of God in nature and even in the cities, all of which reflect in some way the handiwork, the might, the genius of the living God. Really, wherever we are in the vastness of this universe, we are called to praise the living God. So we get directions in terms of where to praise him. And likewise, the psalm is helpful in telling us about why to praise him and for what. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Again, as with where to praise him, so also with why, two points are made. One is the mighty acts of the Lord. Praise him for his mighty acts. What are the mighty acts of the Lord? Do you know? Can you tell about them? Do we pay attention to them? Of course, we can think first of all of creation, how the Lord has called this world into being. We read in Psalm 33, for example, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. Even this world as it is now under a curse, and as it is broken and as it is groaning, still we can see signs, can we not, of God's almighty power. And in the variety, and in the complexity, and in the largeness, and in the richness, we behold again and again the mighty acts of the living God. And the psalm says, praise him for it. And then there is the work of God's providence, the vast and mysterious work of God's keeping and ruling all over this world, everyone and everything. In our catechism, we confess that the Lord is in control in such a way that all things, including herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, food and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, everything comes to us not by chance, but by the fatherly hand of God. And admittedly, who is able to comprehend this fully? We are not. And there are times when we wonder, many times even, what the Lord is doing. But what we know is that he, the all-wise, all-good God, is in charge. And it is the work of his almighty power. And then, of course, we can think of the climax to all of God's work. What is the climax to his work? Is it not what he has done in Jesus Christ, his Son, when he has sent him in the fullness of time? When he has not only sent him, but when he has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And Jesus Christ, by God's divine design, has been made to serve as the substitute for sinners like you and me, and to bear the punishment that we deserve, and therein to secure also the righteousness and the forgiveness that we sinners so desperately need, are we to be saved. And through now the Holy Spirit who has come, this Holy Spirit bringing sinners to Christ, awakening sinners to their need, turning them to the Savior, drawing them to the Savior. All that is a work of the triune God. It is an almighty work. It is a work that involves the conquering of sin, Satan, death, and hell. God does it. And redemption is therefore the best of all the works of God, and we are to praise him for it. Praise him for his mighty act. And then the psalm says something more. Praise him also according to his excellent greatness. What a phrase that is. The excellent greatness of the Lord. What is being described here or referred to here is the character of God, the many attributes of God. And how perfect to say that he is excellently great. Or you could say he is abundantly great. He is full of majesty and glory. Think of his wisdom and his power and his goodness. Think of his immensity and his infinity, how he is from everlasting to everlasting, how he knows all things, how he is almighty and more. And all of this makes up his excellent greatness, and we are to praise him for it, not simply what he has done, but who he is and what he is like. Maybe the most helpful point here is the fact that the psalmist is turning our eyes to look to the Lord. To the Lord. Praise him. Praise him for what he has done. Praise him for who he is. Do you know him? Do you see him? See, our problem so often is that we're not thinking of him. We don't have a mind for God. We're so consumed with life here on earth, as is in many ways understandable, but the psalm, the word, the living God would say, no, that's not enough. Look up. Look up. And when you do, do you not find so many reasons to praise God? And then there is another direction. Not only where to praise God and why to praise God, but in verses 3, 4, and 5, we are told about with what to praise God. And what follows in these verses is an interesting list of musical instruments: trumpets, lutes, harps, timbrels, psalteries, cymbals, all kinds of musical instruments. And the psalmist says, with all these things, be praising the Lord. The big question, of course, is what's exactly the point with all these instruments? Is God through the psalm mandating all of these to be included, say, in public worship? Is that what this is about? Is this a detailed prescription of the way that we ought to worship the Lord? Should we call for and arrange for and secure trumpeters and harpists and violin players and flutists and so on, cymbal crashers? Is that what this is about? Well, some say that's for sure the point. And so they do their best to include all of these things in public worship. Others say, no, that's not the point at all. Psalm 150 is an Old Testament psalm. And we are living now in the New Testament age. And all of these things have been fulfilled in Christ. All of these instruments you can find in other places in the Old Testament to do with different feasts and events and ceremonies. One very famous one is when David brings the ark back to Jerusalem. And what a moment to be sure in Israel's history. And we read in 1 Chronicles 13, for example, of all kinds of instruments being used in that event. But of course, that event and so many others like it find their fulfillment in Christ. And he now is the fulfillment of all of these things. And so we don't use these instruments anymore. We sing only, some say, a cappella without accompaniment. So is that the point? Is that how we need to understand this? Or maybe we should say, is it not so that both of those views actually miss the point? Well, they have things to commend them, and it is true that ultimately in Christ all these things are fulfilled. Is the psalmist, in making mention of all these instruments, not being so specific about prescribing one way or another, but saying as it were, look, the whole orchestra, the whole band is to be employed in the worship of the living God. In other words, when we worship him, we are to worship him with all that we are. He is worthy of all. He is deserving of all. And at every point and in every way, he and his exaltation is to be our focus. Notice in this connection how the psalmist says throughout these verses, 3, 4, and 5, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. So we're not to get stuck on the instruments, yes or no, or what exactly or how today. No, but the praising him with everything. With and I'm in that connection with eagerness and joy and enthusiasm and fervor. Yes, that the clashing cymbals ring to the praise of God, the King. So often today, even in those settings and situations where we do use instruments, and here in this congregation too, we use an organ, sometimes also a piano, I think. And that's not wrong. They're aids to worship. We don't get caught up in the aids. We get caught up in the King. And the aids are meant to help us worship the King, the Lord. New Testament parallel or reference in this connection might be Colossians 3, verse 16 and 17. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let's not forget that, by the way. The New Testament emphasis especially is on singing, on with our voices exalting God. But here, notice the point, whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. And then later it says in that same passage, whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord. So it's the same point, isn't it? What do we praise God with? Everything. That is, everything about us, the whole of our life, the whole purpose, the whole passion of our life needs to be that we are offering ourselves up to God to exalt him with whatever our hands find to do, whether to play to him with our instruments or to sing, ultimately to sing to him with our mouth, or in our work and family life, really with the whole of our life, to exalt him. Yes, notice how these directions come to a climax with verse 6. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything. What does everything mean? Well, everything here in the context of the Old Testament is not so much about every living creature, but about Gentiles as well as Jews. In other words, all people everywhere. And of course, it's a missionary point, isn't it? It's a missionary call. It's the godly man or woman so caught up in the Lord and glorying in the Lord and likewise wanting others to join in that too. Oh, let the whole world come before the face of God and exalt him. And exalt him. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Well, what helpful directions. At least they're meant to be helpful. Whom to praise, where and why and with what, and who all to do so. But having heard these directions, is there not something that comes up now? And that's third this morning. What a searching point to consider. So not only what a fitting end to the Psalter and what helpful directions for us all, but what a searching point to consider. Because the big question we have to face is whether or not this is us. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. And let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Very good. But do we? Do you? And do I? We need to consider this very carefully. Because isn't it true, if we are honest, that many times we are not even thinking of the Lord? Many times we are living our life, we are going from day to day, morning, noon, and night, week after week, and the Lord is hardly in our thoughts. Is that not how it is with so many all across our land, all across Canada? Many people don't even know of the Lord, never mind think of him. But we can be guilty of that too. So busy, so many things to do, making our way in life, getting established, enjoying all the good gifts that we're given. Meanwhile, praising the Lord. Oh, right, I should read his word. I should pray. I should seek to praise him. But we forget. Or we ignore. Or even worse, we disobey him. We don't praise him. We grieve him. We offend him. Is this not true every time we are guilty of an evil thought? Never mind an evil word. Never mind an evil deed. This is us. We are called by God to praise Him. And if we are Christians, we should want to and seek to. And yet what we find ourselves many times is doing the opposite, not praising Him. Have you found this in yourself? Have you found this problem, this great reality within you? Knowing that you are created by God to praise Him, that you were knit by Him in your mother's womb, that you were brought forth into this world to exalt Him, to give Him glory, and yet to find that in your life, that is the last thing you do. Really, by nature, life is not about God for us. It's about us. And that puts us, therefore, at great odds with God. That puts us at enmity with God. In other words, when we read this song, if we are reading it rightly, it should be hard for us. It should be searching for us. Because here, through the words of this psalm, we meet our sin. Praise the Lord. Lord, I don't. Not like I should. Ever since Adam's rebellion and fall, this has been true of every human being who has been born into this world. Except for one. You and me, when we read this psalm and hear this psalm, we should be convicted. One came into this world who, when he heard this psalm, when he learned this psalm, when he read this psalm, his response was, Lord, I will do this with all of my heart. And he did. And that's, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, him whom we know well through the gospel. He who came to do his Father's will. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, he said. And he told his disciples, I always do those things that please my Father. His whole life was one from start to finish of perfect praising of God, of his God, of the Father. That was Jesus Christ. And as such, when we read of him, when we study him in his word, we should stand in awe of him. He did what we cannot ever do of ourselves. And he did it perfectly. And he did it completely. And he did it to the very end. But then what happened was that he was crucified. And if we think that through for a moment again this morning, in that terrible, horrendous moment, and throughout that awful day, and really his whole life was a lead up to it, but what a climax in that moment. He, the Son of God, was treated as if he had never praised God. Not for one second, no. But instead, as if he had all his life grossly blasphemed God and rebelled against God. You know, all the things that you and me are guilty of. All our failure to praise God. All our offending and grieving God is what was laid upon him, and he was made to pay for it. And as we know, we should know, this is the very point of the gospel. This is the good news that we so much need to hear, that what we fail to do, someone did for us, including live for us and die for us. Praise God for us and pay for all our not praising him. And the thing to realize again this morning is that all of this counts for us, gets credited to us, not through our buying it, not through our impressing him and in some way gaining it from him, but simply through receiving it by faith. Receiving it humbly and gratefully. Receiving him. That's it. We're back to Psalm 1 and Psalm 2. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Kiss the Son. And when you kiss him, he's the one who praised God for you. And he's the one who's being punished for you. Covers for you fully and completely. When we come to Psalm 150 and we read this and we're convicted, we may look to Christ as the one in whom we fulfill this psalm. He in our place. And so Psalm 150 is searching, or should be, for us all here and for every Canadian and really for every human being What a convicting word. Are you convicted by it this morning? But the Lord convicts you, not simply to leave you convicted, but to draw you to His Son and to make you trust and be at peace and at rest in Him. And then it is in light of Him and being connected to Him by faith that the words of our text take on all the more power. And saying that, we go yet to our last point. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. What a clear call to hear and to heed. And this especially so now for believers. What a clear call, because listening to this psalm as a believer, listening to this psalm now as one who is in Christ, washed and cleansed and loved and accepted, and knowing that and being thankful for that. Well, does not this text then take on all the more urgency? And is there not a holy passion that starts to fill every Christian when listening to these words? Because to praise the Lord, this is what we were made to do. And we know we fail to do it, which is why we love the Savior and delight in Him. But now in Christ, we are set free and enabled to do what we were first meant to do and called even to do. Yes, praising the Lord, that means to acknowledge Him and adore Him with our spirit, with our words, with our life, with our faith, with our obedience, in our hard times, in our good times, in the whole of our witness, acknowledging the Lord God, His greatness and His glory, and adoring Him all the while. This is the call, and it is a clear call, so clearly laid out for us, and so clearly now pressed upon our souls. Psalm 150 is no mere suggestion for us, but it is a direction coming down to us from the courts of heaven, from the mouth of the living God Himself. Here is how He would have us to live. And it is a gospel call. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Will not every Christian hear that and be saying in his or her soul, Lord, I want to. Help me. Help me. And as we finish then this morning, let me give you three things simply to help you in the way of that praising. How about simply always remembering this psalm? Remembering this psalm and its call. Waking up with it if you can. A new day, a new week. What's it for? Praise the Lord. That's what it's for. What a help just to remind ourselves. Just to keep these things close to us in our mind and in our heart. And then secondly, isn't it important to live repentantly? To be saying often, sorry, Lord. Sorry for all the times I don't praise. I've not praised. Please forgive me through the blood of the Savior. Forgive me. And from now on, help me always to praise. Remembering, repenting, and resolving. Lastly, resolving by God's grace so to live. Like we read in Hebrews 13, verse 15, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Maybe we could sing more than perhaps we do at home, in life, as family, with friends, here too in church. I haven't paid attention, but no doubt in this church it's the same as in many of our churches. Not everyone sings. Not everyone sings like they might. But more than just singing, how about simply saying to the Lord, Lord, I praise You. In your prayer life, all praise to Your name, Lord. Be saying it to yourself. And in your heart, and with your heart, and with your whole life. And maybe even so that others can sometimes hear you and be led to ask you, what's with you? What are you so on about praising the Lord? At which point you might be able to say to them, oh, that. Well, I know Him. I trust Him. I love Him. He's so great. Can I tell you about Him? And will you not join with me in praising and in blessing His name all your days and even forever and ever? Yes, forever. What a thought that is. Canada's 150 has come and gone. And what is 150 years? But this Psalm 150, it's forever. It starts you on a path that ends in eternity. And eternity will be perfect, and will be perfect praise with no end, and with us never wanting an end, but always wanting more and more. Which, when you think about that, whatever happens here in this land and in this life, and there are so many hard things, and there are so many bitter things, and there are so many grievous things, and there are so many things that make it difficult even sometimes to praise God, but to turn our eyes up again to Him, we know where we are going, and we know how He will make all things end well. And we know that what's coming is beyond words to express. Our eyes have been opened to the glory of the unseen, and to live for that. And therefore, congregation, let us praise, of course. Let us praise the Lord. Praise, praise, praise the Lord. Doing so by God's grace here every day that we're given. And then, soon enough, doing so forever in glory.